Hi there, and welcome to Stories of Our Why, a podcast from the West Shore School District. Here we take a closer look at the inspiring stories behind our students' journeys. I'm Braden Long, Director of Communications for the district. The title, Stories of Our Why, comes from the district's core mission, Our Why. We are dedicated to providing students with inspiring and relevant experiences so they may live meaningful, purposeful, and impactful lives. Here we hear directly from the students whose experiences reflect that mission in action. Each episode features student speakers from Cedar Cliff and Redland High Schools and their speeches at Board of School Directors meetings, giving us insight into their challenges, achievements, and what motivates them to grow, lead, and make a difference. In this episode, we speak with Cedar Cliff Jr. Eduardo Lara Ortiz and his English honors teacher, Lauren Hyde. A multilingual, multinational student from Ecuador, Eduardo's story taken him from the halls of West Shore and into an inspiring writing competition where he won a prestigious award in poetry. Here's Eduardo and Mrs. Hyde. Eduardo, thank you for joining me today. Let's talk a little bit about your speech back to the board in February and some of your inspirations for what you wanted to talk about, you know, talking to the community and talking in front of 9 board members plus a superintendent, assistant superintendent, and some others can be a little bit scary depending on what you want to talk about and those kinds of things. So tell me a little bit about what was going through your mind.
It all started with like an assignment we were given, made to write a speech and stuff. So with that speech that I wrote, I was, you know, at home with my parents, stuff, little stuck on doing it. So I had my mom like brainstorm me through stuff, and you know, she gave me it. So when I went to talk to the board, I had those two things in mind, talking about like stepping out of comfort zone stuff, because I didn't really know what I wanted to talk about or how I wanted to say it. But, you know, with like my mom pushing me, stuff I just wrote. Then the community, is just something I really always seen, always like felt important to me. So yeah, those stuck out to me instantly. I just knew I was going to write about that.
Let's talk a little bit about some of the things that you wanted to discuss whenever you were in your speech, because for you, is English your second or first language?
Second.
English is your second language. Yes. And at home, do your parents also speak English or primarily Spanish in the home?
We primarily Spanish.
So yeah. Is there a kind of barrier whenever you're talking about some of the things that you not only do at school, but also in terms of whenever you're trying to come up with your speech and everything? Because people will discuss cultural differences and everything, but language-wise also, what is that like for you going, you know, being like a primary translator for your parents a lot of the time and those sort of things? You mentioned that in your speech, so that's why I ask. It was a very important part of what you were discussing too.
Well, I mean, now, since it's been 17 now, it's been a couple of years I've been doing it, it's gotten a lot easier and stuff. But like around when I was like younger and stuff, it was a little more difficult for me to switch, especially like I didn't really know much English. So I couldn't really, if I didn't understand what they were saying, couldn't really translate it to my parents. And it's, my dad came here pretty early. So it's mostly for my mom that I was translating and stuff. And yeah, it's usually just like the medical stuff or phone calls and stuff, like pretty important stuff that I was like, I don't really know, understand this or I don't know how I should be translating this.
Let's talk a little bit about how you believe you've, during your time, I don't want to say overcome, but been able to handle that responsibility and also learn and be a student and a kid yourself.
Well, I feel it's gotten me in the mindset of being like a mentor pretty early on and like being able to help people. So when I got here and stuff, tutoring was one of the big things that I was just prepared for it. I already been doing it for a couple years, helping stuff. So yeah, overcoming that, I already kind of like went into it knowing kind of how to do it. Mm-hmm. And at first, of course, freshman year, a little nervous, like youngest. Didn't really know how to like incorporate myself into that, but
youngest in the school or the family?
School. Okay, in the school. Yeah,
gotcha. Continue. It seems like you had more to go. Continue.
Then, I mean, I don't really know how to say overcome it. Like I said, I just
It's a unique element of your life that other people don't have to deal with, I would say. So how do you handle that?
Well, I mean, handling wise, like switching between languages and stuff, I don't know how to say, because to be honest, I don't really know how I did it. It's just like something that just came to me. It was like, I was slowly, there were some challenges, of course, doing it, but I was just little by little, I was like getting hang of it every now and then, messing up.
When did you start learning English?
I came here when I was like four. Okay. So I think one of the big reasons why I don't really remember how I like incorporating stuff is because my parents just stuck me right into school, like zero English learned or anything, just straight into school.
And you don't know any different.
So, I mean, being pretty young, I think, was like an advantage. So I still had like that time frame to learn a language. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how I caught on pretty well.
Mm-hmm. Me not starting until my freshman year with Spanish is very obvious. It shows very obvious, yeah. Very much. So you understand.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like vaguely remember I was in Harrisburg. When I first learned it, I vaguely remember like struggling to understand the lesson and everything. I had a teacher who, like, after classes, sit down with me, re-go over it, making sure I understood everything was going on. But yeah, it was a little vague of how like I did it.
So how long have you been in West Shore?
West Shore, I started since third grade, I think.
Okay, give me an idea of your school path.
So when we first came here, I went to Harrisburg. I think the school I went to was Melrose Elementary. From there, we moved to Camp Hill. I think we went to West Creek Hills. I think that's the school that we went through there. From there, we made our final move to further into camp. Well, closer to Wormleysburg, stuff like that. That's where I live currently. There, we moved to Washington Heights. And that's where I started off with the West Shore.
Yeah, so Washington Heights, New Cumberland, Cedar Cliff?
Yes.
Okay, very good. So tell me a little bit about what it's been like as you've gotten a bit more comfortable with all of that and your just educational journey overall, because you not only have the perspective of having multiple languages in the household, but also going through multiple school systems. And I don't even mean elementary, middle, and high school. I mean Harrisburg School District, Camp Hill School District, and then with us. So what has been navigating all that been like? And most importantly, what has the stability since at least third grade been like for you here? Yeah.
Well, I would say coming here was like, I feel more organized. Harrisburg, I don't know if it was mostly because of my language barrier and stuff, but I didn't really feel like those organization much and stuff for me. And then like I said, and one of the big things with community, I still remember first day into Washington Heights, I met, still friends with Christopher, one of my friends. He like first person to talk to me, and like instantly we just became friends. Mm-hmm. So yeah, connecting with like everybody there was like just easier. First time it felt like easy to like be with people and stuff. Mm-hmm. So yeah, going through that, I guess like having a lot of people when I first came to district, there was a lot of people I could talk to and stuff. So Chris too, he's also Hispanic, so it was easy for me to like, if I didn't know how to say it in English, just say it in Spanish to him. Mm-hmm. And it was just big help, you know. I've never been in a class or with a teacher who like felt distant or in a space where like I felt like I was being like taken out of or mm-hmm. not part of.
Good.
So I do feel like there was a lot of support.
Gotcha. So now fast forward to your junior year, and you're at that table giving your speech to the board, and you talk about finding a certain love of language, both Spanish and English, because one of the teachers that you very crucially talked about is Mrs. Hyde here at Cedar Cliff, AP English Lit, and also creative writing in a way for you too. So tell me a little bit about how you came to that point, and you can even tell me some of your experience with Mrs. Hyde or any other teachers you'd like to.
Well, like I said, Miss Hyde has become like one of my favorite teachers. You know, she makes lessons pretty interesting and stuff. When she gave us first assignment to write it, I didn't really know how to do it or like didn't really want to do it. It was another homework assignment. But writing it and stuff, I decided to, she gave us an opportunity to like speak it out to the people. And I said that like, I might as well do it. It was extra credit too, so wanted that extra credit.
Sure.
So
always
decided,
helps.
Yeah. So I decided to do it, and then like after class, she's told me like how beautiful it was and stuff. That's when she first started like motivating me to like submit it and stuff. Well, yeah, Miss Hyde, she really started pushing me at that in those moments like to do it. I went over like thought overnight, and I was like, maybe yeah, junior year should just do whatever right now to get whatever awards or anything. So I decided to do it. You know, along the way, she did help me writing wise. Like she'd help me go over stuff. And yeah, it's like during in class too, like the lessons and stuff, I always found very interesting, like especially like annotating notes and stuff. Her teaching us, like I said, one of our books we read Foster and stuff, analyzing everything. So writing that poem and stuff, I was like always trying to like look for ways to like incorporate some of her lessons into it, trying to put like analogies or anything.
I wish I had a copy of it here and I should have brought it, but I will ask a question based upon the feeling that I had listening to you talking about your experience in your speech and in that poem in particular. But that required some of the things you said, and that required a certain amount of vulnerability and a certain amount of bravery too. So tell me about the message of your poem that you read out to the board that you wrote with Mrs. Hyde, and just your feelings about it.
Well, I say at the very end of the bit, I did say like I was trying to keep it away from me and say it's in more in general, like Hispanic community and stuff, being how to say you are the person walking between lines, because I do have a couple of friends and stuff that are also like were in my position and stuff, were being either the oldest in the family, so like being translators and stuff, being the first generation here. So when I was writing it, finishing writing, I really thought about them too. I was like, I'm not the only one going through this. They're also doing this. So I know I did also have like a couple family, just had some family move here. I have a cousin going through this stuff. So like those people came to mind. I was like, we're all going through it together. And like, I just wanted to be like, I don't say inspiration. So I'm saying like, we can overcome everything. Mm-hmm. It's not that we're the only people doing this. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I wanted to be like more vulnerable. And so in a way to say like, give people like that image, like that we're all part of this together. You're not alone, and being like having all these challenges thrown at you and stuff.
Before we move on to Mrs. Hyde's portion of this conversation, you will hear a lot about Eduardo's piece of poetry that he entered into a Scholastics writing competition regionally that won a Gold Key Award. That poem he read aloud at the Board of School Directors meeting back in February. I'd like to play that for you now.
Honor. Do not forget to say gracias, even when they only laugh at you. Because manners means respect, and respect means you were raised right. Remember to greet your elders with a kiss on the cheek, not a handshake. Because this is how you show warmth, not distance. Do not speak too loudly in English around your abuelos. They might not understand, but they will smile anyway. Proud that you know the language of a country that never really knew you. Never forget to eat everything on your plate, even when you don't like it. Because food is love, and wasting love is a sin. Every grain of rice and every drop of soup represents a minute of your parents' sacrifices, all just to make sure you have everything. Remember to translate for your parents at the store, at the doctor, on the phone, because you are the bridge connecting everything. Do not roll your eyes when your mom calls you three times just to ask if you have eaten, because this is her way of saying te quiero without needing to say it. Never forget to say where you're from, even when people turn the question into a wall. Say with pride, with rhythm, with all the colors of the flag you come from, because every answer is a reminder that your roots still run deep. Do not talk back to teachers. Do not be lazy. Do not get in trouble, because you are not just you. You are an example for all your cousins, for every little kid watching you walk the line between two worlds. Remember how your dad says, con ganas, because you, before you leave for school, as if those words could protect you from everything you will face out there. Never stop working hard, because your parents did not change worlds for you to give up halfway. They built new lives from pieces of the old one, and you are part of that rebuild. Never miss Mass, no matter how busy you are, because your faith is what will keep you going. Family's not optional, it is air. It is laughter echoing through the house. It is the stories that never die. When your Spanish slips or your English feels borrowed. When you are too American for one side and too Latino for the other. Remember that you're made of both. That you belong to two worlds that meet inside you like a heartbeat that never stops. That your identity is not a mistake or a mix-up. It is a masterpiece crafted by every generation before you. Thank you.
And now part of our conversation with Cedar Cliff High School English and Literature teacher, Lauren Hyde.
Do you run into students who are the translators of their own families a lot over your career or not as much either?
I would say more so in the past few years. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say a lot. Eduardo's sort of a special case.
Mm-hmm. How so?
Well, he came to me last. I have the privilege, actually, of having many of these kids for 2 years in a row. I have them in 10th grade honors English. I'm the only one who teaches 10th honors at Cedar Cliff. And then they come to me for AP, and I'm the only one who teaches AP Lit here. So I get to know them well. And when he started with me in 10th grade, he was very quiet, seemed very unsure of himself. I don't know that he felt that he was placed where he was going to be most comfortable. And then I've just watched him flourish and emerge over the past year and a half, and it's been wonderful.
Not only with Eduardo, but with just individual students that you have overall, what does that do for you as an educator? Seeing somebody in your classroom come in that way, and then by the time they're leaving you at the end of their junior year, they're completely have grown and thrived in a way that they didn't think they were going to be able to do.
Well, it makes it all worth it. Yeah. You know, it's a tough job on a lot of days. And when you're teaching courses at this level, you know, we're writing essays all the time, and I'm spending a great deal of time on my own, you know, at home and so forth, trying to advance their writing and advance their skills to see the embodiment of that in sometimes the most unlikely students. It makes it all worth it. It's what being a teacher is about.
So whenever we tie things back to Eduardo and we think about the journey that he's been in from Harrisburg to Camp Hill to then Washington Heights and coming into New Cumberland and Cedar Cliff, really kind of latching on to some friends at first to help, you know, translate and learn English as a second language, and now coming into your classroom and now leaving your classroom, what has growth looked like for him, do you think?
Well, again, when he came to me in the beginning of 10th grade honors, he really, I don't think he was very comfortable.
Yeah.
And he wasn't volunteering answers very often. And I just thought of him as a quiet student who's going to do what he has to do and get the best grade that he can get. But I have seen this person, the confidence that I have seen emerge in him is just the most remarkable thing that I've experienced.
The phrase "do what he has to do" mm-hmm. is key to something, to an answer that he gave me as well whenever it first came to this writing assignment mm-hmm. and the poetry writing assignment, where he said, "I wasn't really sure about it. I just thought, okay, I'll finish it and get it done and do what I need to do, you know, mm-hmm. to get a good grade." And it turned into something else.
It sure did.
Especially because it related to his personal experience in a way that many others don't have, things that others don't have to deal with. So tell me a little bit about first the basis of the assignment and what you hope that students learn from it, and then go from there.
We don't get a lot of opportunities in AP courses to step outside of the curriculum. You know, the College Board determines what we need to accomplish, and it's tight and it's tough. So whenever there's an opportunity for me to get the kids to do something creative, you know, I really grab onto that. So that particular assignment, we were in a poetry unit, and there's a poem written by Jamaica Kincaid titled Girl. And she goes through in her piece the various expectations of being a girl, a young girl growing up in an island nation. And so I just had them take the format of that. And then actually there was a response piece written called Boy, the author's name is escaping me right now, but about the expectations of growing up and being a boy in America. So I had them look at both of those pieces and then write their own. Mm-hmm. And it didn't have to be about being a girl or being a boy, but expectations that are placed on them. So as you know, Eduardo decided to take that in the direction of being the translator for his family and an English language learner. And
do you remember reading it for the first time?
I didn't read it actually for the first time. I heard it the first time. So I offered the kids the opportunity. I did not force them to share their pieces with the class, but I offered the opportunity to share them with the class. And I probably had in his class, I probably had five or six kids, and he was one of them. And I was actually a little surprised that he was volunteering. And I will tell you that the classroom came to a halt. I mean, we were all just amazed by what we were hearing. And I'm not going to lie, there were a couple tears for me.
Well, you gave him an opportunity to have a voice that he hadn't had before. Mm-hmm. So you started talking about tears and everything in the classroom. What were your emotions as you were hearing it too?
I was so proud of him in that moment for being willing to share something that was so vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Teenagers don't want to be vulnerable in front of their peers, and he was willing to do that because I think he even knew how powerful it was. Mm-hmm. It may have initially been just an assignment, but it turned into far more for him personally, I'm willing to bet. Mm-hmm. And so, it was just, I knew the moment I heard it, mm-hmm. that it was special. Mm-hmm. And so I asked to speak with him privately after class. And I'm proud of you for sharing this. And I do think you have something special here. And I want you to at least consider entering this in the Scholastic Writing Competition. And he was very reluctant. He did not want to do it at first. And I said, well, just think about it. And so he came to me a couple of days later and he said, I want to do it.
Certainly became worth it too. I mean, not that awards are everything, but certainly became worth it. Tell me a little bit about what that competition is like that you know of.
There were a lot of entries and very few Gold Key winners. And he was one of them. And to earn a Gold Key, I remember when I was in high school, and I've always been interested in English, and I was writing poetry myself, and it was a personal goal of mine to get a Gold Key, and I never did. It's a big deal. Yeah. It's a big deal, and something that he can be proud of the rest of his life about.
Eduardo very clearly echoed you in his speech as well, and gave you his good shout outs and what have you in his speech. Previously you had said, you know, those are kind of the moments that make teaching all worth it, which of course it is. So this is a similar answer kind of a thing, but what does that personally do for you? Not only as an educator, but as a person, whenever you do hear that you've had such an impact on somebody and somebody who you may not have expected to have that kind of an impact on when they first walk into your door.
It never goes unappreciated. I'm nearing the end of my career. This is my 30th year, and I'm making some decisions about what's going to happen in the next few years. And the only thing, honestly, that makes me want to stay are those daily. Those moments at school board meetings or whatever. I don't want to take anything away from that. Those are very special. But I have notes from kids, thank you cards, and daily interactions that I have with them that truly have kept me going.
What do you think Superintendent Sayer would have had to say at all for the podcast version of anybody, former West Shore School District Superintendent Larry Sayer?
Now you're gonna get me really emotional.
Yeah, just about your journey and then the students that you have.
So I shared this with Dr. Philgrove last year, that my only goal every day has been to be the kind of teacher that my dad would want me to be. Mm-hmm. And so I have worked, sorry.
That's okay.
I have tried to be that person. Yeah. They always come first. The kids always come first. I know that's a cliche thing to say, but they truly do. I come from a family of educators. And my father was a teacher before he was a superintendent. And my mother was a teacher, actually, before she was, she became a real estate agent. My mother's mother, my grandmother, was, she didn't work her whole life. And then she was a stay-at-home mom, a homemaker, and then decided late in her life, like in her 60s, that she was going to go into a special ed classroom and be an aide. So, and many cousins, and, right? So educators all over the place. And I always had a love for English reading. I was a huge reader my whole life, still am. And I couldn't think of a different profession that I could possibly do. What could be better? And I love children. So what could be better than coming to work every day and talking about books to kids? I can't think of a possible better job to have. Mm-hmm. So my father in particularly was the person who inspired me to be the kind, not to be a teacher, but to be the kind of teacher that I try to be every day.
And that was our conversation with Eduardo Lara Ortiz and Mrs. Lauren Hyde. We hope his journey across the globe and into West Shore, as well as her teaching journey, have inspired you as much as they inspired us. You can expect more stories of our why coming up throughout the year in our monthly newsletters and on the West Shore School District website. Until next time, I'm Braden Long, Director of Communications for West Shore School District.